the only friends he had in this godforsaken land. Even in the few short minutes that he had been conscious, he had noticed that there was some kind of distance that had arisen between them.
But why?
He could recall being here and leaving to strike out toward Ankh Ridge, but then there was the depression and a storm that mirrored his mood, a blizzard, and after that, a blur of ideas, images, and emotions that he couldn't grasp. Reluctantly, Doc followed the others. By the time he had reached the showers, they were stripped and washing the filth, ice, and blood from their battered bodies. Doc sat quietly as they finished and dried themselves. No more than a few words were exchanged. It was almost as though they were too tired to even acknowledge one another's existence. Certainly none seemed to acknowledge Doc's presence. Before too long, he was left alone in the shower room, the others having gone in search of washing machines. Automatically, he stripped and washed himself, noting with an almost detached amusement the signs of combat, the scars of recent wounds, and the discoloration of contusion on his body. How he came to have these, he had no idea. The redoubt was silent and still. Doc tried to will himself to sleep, but his mind was racing. Eventually, the effort of trying to make sense from the chaos was enough to tire him, and he fell into a fitful, uneasy sleep. Doc awoke the next morning to find that the others had risen before him. Despite the unease with which he had first fallen into sleep, it had proved to move from fitful to deep and dreamless, and he now felt refreshed and less apprehensive. He rose and dressed, going in search of the others. Doc found them in the kitchens, where the others were attempting to construct some kind of appetizing and nutritious meal from what they had left in the stores before leaving the last time, which was very little. But they were in no condition to be fussy about what they would eat. Even the remains of the stores, be charred and burned mule or dog meat.
Doc, I didn't want to wake you, so I left you. Hope that was okay. How are you feeling?
Do you mean generally, Miss Roth? Or are you being more specific, as in, do I feel quite insane today?
It wasn't what I meant, but I guess it's a fair question. I don't know what you remember, but you kind of lost it there for a while.
I'll have to take your word for that. I have no recollection of any events after first leaving here and being caught in a blizzard. Could you fill me in on what has happened?
Ryan had been watching Doc carefully and had no doubts that the old man was telling the truth. Doc seemed genuinely confused about events. If nothing else, Ryan was glad to see the back of Joseph Jordan, whoever or whatever he may have been.
Dark night, there's a lot that happened since then. Where do we begin?
Doc sat entranced while the events of the past few days were relayed to him. The trek across the wastelands, followed by their discovery by the Inuit hunting party, when Doc tried to escape the companions. Their captivity in the Inuit settlement, and near sacrifice in the mix of pagan and Christian-inspired ritual to ensure the fertility of the waning tribe. From this, the sudden emergence from fever of a new personality within Doc, that of the reincarnated Joseph Jordan. When the story reached this point, all watched Doc closely for some flicker of recognition, yet there was none. The only emotion to register on his face was that of astonishment. From here, the old man's astonishment mounted as they unfurled his plans to take on the Ville of Fairbanks as a large-scale sacrifice to their lord, and of the war party he had helped to prepare. By the time Mildred and Jack told him of the doomed attack on the Ville and the manner in which they had almost been trapped within the burning streets, Doc's face was ashen. Racing through his mind were thoughts of how his own insanity had nearly doomed his companions. These were thoughts that jostled for space within his mind with others. How fragile was his mind, his personality, that it was able to be submerged so easily into some kind of disguise?
Doc! Doc! Are you okay?
Eh?
The old man shook himself from his reverie to see that the others were studying him closely. He realized that their story had ended, and he had seemed not to acknowledge this.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just find it hard to comprehend. I have no recollection of any of the events you have outlined, not even the impression of a dream.
He petered off, not quite sure where to begin. In the ensuing silence, Ryan scanned the companions as they sat around the kitchen of the redoubt.
In my mind, I felt as though I were not here. Everything that I experienced on our journey to the Inuitville was part of some test. I was back in the time of Project Cerberus. I was insane, locked in a padded room and going through these experiences as a kind of mental exercise. It was as though I were a rat in a maze, running blindly at the behest of some scientist who had a purpose in mind for me. And if I reached the end of the maze, I would be rewarded. Not with candy or cheese, but with the truth. A revelation that would explain why I was going through this whole experience. Not just since landing here, but in the entire time since you, my dear friends, first saved me from the hands of Court Stresser. It seemed to me that in order to do this, I had to go through some kind of change, some kind of rebirth. I had to be like the butterfly that emerges from the chrysalis, even if that change meant that I forget the life that I had experienced before that moment. I suspect that that was the moment at which this man, Jordan, first made an appearance. I could not tell you who or what he was, only that once he appeared, I receded, not just in your eyes, but in my own mind as well. I have no recollection of anything that happened after that, and only one fleeting memory from then until I awoke on the sled as we approached this place once more. If I think about it, I can remember, just for a moment, standing in a log cabin, staring at you all, wrapped in furs and skins. I tried to speak, but somehow the words would not come out. It was as though I were watching you through gauze, as though I could hear you through a fog of white noise. My chest was constrained, making every breath something for which I had to fight, every syllable something that had to be forced from my lips. The words were there, but they would not come out. But after that, there is nothing. Nothing until last evening, when I awoke to find myself on a sled, aware that something had happened, but not what that may be.
I think that being here triggered things you don't want to remember, and made you withdraw into yourself. Strange thing is, although it may sound like madness, it's more of a way of clinging on to your sanity.
But at what cost? What does it benefit me if I hold on to sanity at the expense of losing identity? What use is it if I close down whenever things become too much to bear? How can I be a useful member of this group if I retreat into my own head at the drop of a hat? In fact, I could be nothing except a complete liability. This is not a world in which to carry passengers.
That's for us to decide.
I cannot be responsible for such an eventuality.
Then what do you propose to do about it? You want to stay here, alone? How long will you cling to your sanity then? What you went through isn't likely to occur again. I can't see why you...
That is not the point! It may have been a one-off occurrence, but I cannot know that for sure. Any more than you can. I cannot risk it happening again.
Doc, the only way any of us can avoid a risk like that is by buying a farm right here and now, and that's just stoop. It's this fucking place. It messes with our heads. Let's just get the hell out and see what we feel like when we land somewhere else.
It was a view with which they all could agree, even Doc, who approached the idea with some trepidation, yet could see through his own fears how the redoubt may be, once more, exerting its pernicious influence. They effected the quickest evacuation of all the redoubt experiences. In next to no time, they had collected what little they had to take with them, replenished from the few supplies left in the stores, and were in the Mattrans chamber. Ryan stood by the door while the others filed into the chamber. As he entered and closed the door, Christie settled on the disc inset floor next to an apprehensive-looking Doc. She could feel the oppressive atmosphere that had once again been creeping upon them begin to lift, as if carried on the trails of white mist that began to spiral around them. Jack retched and sent a thin stream of bile across the floor.
Well, Jack's coming around.
The one-eyed man watched the stream of liquid congeal at the toe of his heavy combat boot. He couldn't think much beyond that, having only just managed to clamber to his feet.
It's not him I'm worried about.
Christy shook her head, trying to clear it. The movement only made things worse, and she slumped forward from her kneeling position. She felt terrible. Like the others, she had been concerned that with little opportunity to recuperate after a traumatic firefight and flight, the jump would be too much of a strain. Jack always suffered after a jump, but it was the ever-fragile Doc who was the cause of most concern. She'd worry about him later, though. Right now, her primary objective was to make sure that she was functioning. JB and Mildred had stirred, and while Ryan tried to make out shapes through the opaque armor-glass walls of the chamber, Christy helped the pair of them to their feet. Jack, as ever, eschewed all help, waving away Christy's proffered hand to drag himself upright. He looked over at Doc.
He okay?
Doc lay motionless on his back. Mildred made her way over to him.
I don't know.
For all intents and purposes, Doc looked as though the trip might have been one trauma too many. He was so still that Mildred first suspected that he was dead. It was only when she was kneeling over him that she could see he was breathing shallowly.
There's still some life in the old bastard.
Doc opened his eyes. They were wide, staring, and unusually alert.
Why, hello, my dear doctor. How pleasant to see you. I must say, you don't seem to be well at all. I, on the other hand, feel as though I have had a most refreshing rest.
He propped himself up on one elbow and looked at the others.
It is most strange. Usually I feel terrible after a jump, but I feel as though I could fight an army.
Doc, the way I feel right now, that might come in handy. Let's just get our shit together and secure the immediate area.
Ryan had seen nothing in the vague shapes lurking beyond the opaque armor-glass of the chamber to suggest that there was any kind of life in the redoubt. However, Triple Red was the only way to approach evacuation. When they were sufficiently recovered to make a move, they exited the chamber one by one, assuming positions of cover. It was a futile exercise. The room beyond the anteroom was in semi-darkness, where some of the fluorescent lighting had failed, and the constantly blinking lights of the comp desks were all the life that appeared to exist. There was a distinct chill in the air, suggesting that it was more than just the lighting that was failing. The air was breathable, but carried a dank undertone. Some areas of the redoubt might have been breached by outside elements. Other than that, there seemed to be no human life here. Still keeping their blasters to hand. Instinct told them the redoubt was empty, but intellect still counseled caution. They left the chamber room. The redoubt was in some disarray, not from any looting or ransacking, but from the gradual breakdown of its own systems. At some time, probably during the immediate aftermath of the new cost, a breach had occurred in the walls of the structure. An earth movement, strong enough to rupture the reinforced, thick concrete walls, had caused enough damage to let outside elements creep in. Wherever they were, it was beneath the local water table, as damp had suffused the very atmosphere. Great stretches of corridor were unlit where the lighting had shorted. The same could be said of sectors that had started to close when the circuit shorted, but had been stayed by warps in the wall and were now jammed half open, half shut, a monument to the breach in supposedly safe defenses. Rats and insects had infiltrated the cracks. The winged bugs buzzed around them, trying to bite. The red eyes of albino rats, almost twice normal size, glowered at them before the creatures scuttled for the safety of complete darkness. Here and there were small stagnant pools where the damp had gathered enough to drip down the walls through the thin cracks that suffused the concrete. There were gatherings of moss and slime on the walls, delineating watermarks where there were occasional floods when the water table rose. Thankfully, the Matrans and anteroom had been just above this level. As they rose higher, the signs of damage and infestation grew less. The electrical systems had still suffered, however, and some of the rooms were closed to them, sectors failing to respond. Eventually, they reached a place where maps were displayed, revealing to them that they had landed on the eastern seaboard, beneath what had once been an area known as New Jersey.
Unusual to have a redoubt so near a heavily populated area.
It was a heavy industrial area, Christy. Probably one of the places they would have wanted to land some nukes first of all. I guess this redoubt was built so that they could have a base near to a big population and near to some military factories that were located hereabouts. And you gotta say, it looks like it must have been hit really heavy up there for the damage that's come this far down. But then there were a lot of nuke power plants along this coast, one not far from here if my memory serves. You unleash a ton of nukes on top of that, And the only thing I'm surprised about is that this place is still here.
We've been along this coast before. Remember, Ryan? We got ourselves fouled up with that evil bitch captain.
Don't remind me.
Ryan shuddered, remembering the Wailing Queen, Pyrrha Quad, who had looked like a man and had had designs on the One-Eyed Warrior.
Shit. It still gives me nightmares.